This message was preached in the Trinity Bible Church pulpit in East Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
So, the epistle of Apostle Paul to Philippians. Nowadays, it has been manifested as we as a church nowadays gather up to serve their brethren and their people. I want to encourage you, your hearts, through the scripture. There is a motivation to strengthen our faith, and we should imitate them. So the title for today's Sunday school service is Being Blessed to Bless Others. So let us go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. We will start with this text, then we will go to some others. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 says, I greatly rejoiced in the Lord that you have finally revived your care for me, about which it was only also needed, but you were lacking the opportunity. I don't say it because I live in scarcity, because I have learned to content no matter what my situation is. I know how to live humbly, and I know how to have a lot. I am properly taught in everything. I am trained both to have abundance and also to be hungry. I can do everything in Christ who strengthens me. However, you did well in participating with me through my affliction. Okay, we will continue to read until verse 20. So please continue to read until verse 20. It is like a little fast for me. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this is a beautiful narrative in which Apostle Paul compares us here, giving us a testimony of the Church of Philippians. We can notice the joy of Apostle Paul as he received the blessings, and how this joy was centered in the blessings that he received. I want us to consider the role of the Church of Philippians and the rest of the churches that Apostle Paul could visit and carry the gospel to. And it was because of his support, help, and the mercy of his church toward him and toward the work of the Lord. So notice how his words revolve around the blessings that he has received from the Lord through these brethren, and how they had been moved to participate in the work and being attentive to the needs of their brethren, and especially the needs of Apostle Paul, so that they could also be blessed with the blessing that he had received from the Lord. That's why Apostle Paul guides them to a proper perspective in verse 17. He says, not that I'm seeking for presents, but I'm seeking for a fruit that abounds on your account. I am praising you not to seek for these presents, but for a fruit that abounds for your account. I want this to be counted for you. Therefore, my brethren, we can also observe in this text some principles that will be a great blessing for us today. Firstly, I want us to consider the source of a blessing. the source of His blessing, and it is important that we can see it, because nowadays there are so many people who turn themselves into the source of a blessing instead of the Lord. But in this scripture, it is stated that the source of every blessing is the Lord Himself. The work of mercy of God and the care toward the apostle for them also. Paul wants to take care of the hearts of these brethren, and he doesn't want to grow up a lot in pride, but he wants them to see beyond, farther beyond, that the blessing for them as a church that they have provided for Paul and the support that they have provided for him was nothing but the way of showing the mercy of God for the church of the Philippians. That's why he says he rejoices greatly in the Lord. He says he firstly took joy in the Lord that they finally revived their care for him, as a way that Paul focuses his sight upon them and takes them to see that the source of a blessing is God Himself in the first place. As a consequence, they were showing what God had already done in their hearts as a church. What they were doing was just a part of their blessing, the blessings that the Lord had provided to those brethren. And that's why in verses 11 through 13, Paul points at the way their faith had been strengthened and how they were prepared and how they had been taught for every circumstance. He stated that please read verse 11. I don't say it because I lack a lot of things, but instead I have learned already how to take joy in every situation, no matter what it is. I am trained in everything, both for lacking things or for having abundantly. I can do everything in Christ who strengthens me, he said. And further beyond in verse 20, he provides the evidence of this relationship of love, stating that it was nothing but the way of showing the love, the evidence of love. All glory is attributed to God by Apostle Paul. And why is it important for us to understand this? Nowadays, there's everything in the streets, and there will be many sorcerers, politicians, and many other sceneries in religion in which the people from the churches will take credit for themselves, and many people will go out to help, but the purpose will not be to glorify God, not to show God as the primary source of the blessing. They will take advantage of it as politicians for their personal campaigns, for their church's campaigns. And that's why it is so pitiful that Christian people take this to campaign on their own behalf, just as politicians. So positioning themselves as the primary source of a blessing, to position their churches as the primary source of blessing, my dear brethren. May the Lord deliver us from running after this shame for the gospel. I say it because sadly I have seen so many people who are violating the principles, the basic scripture principles. May your left hand not know what your right hand is doing, because everything represents the glory for them, that actually belongs to the Lord. We are not called to do that. We are called to provide from the blessing we received from the Lord firstly, and to guide the people to gaze upon the Lord, not to the pastor, not to the deacons, not to the church, but to God as the primary blessing. Even nowadays, I was watching a service from a pastor, and I felt so angry. Because this man had the TV cameras in front of him, and he was showing how the church was full of boxes ready to help the poor. And do you know what was also marked on the boxes? They had the pastor's face, a picture of him. That's a shame, actually, for the gospel, because the primary source of a blessing is our Lord. That's why the very Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, when you give something to somebody, don't call people to horn the trumpet before you, as hypocrites do, in order to be praised by men. I certainly tell you, they already have their reward. When they want is to be praised by men, then they will be praised by men. But observe, my brethren, those who are seeking for a camera and praise from men, from TV, from newspapers, hear me carefully. Do not horn the trumpet in front of you, just as hypocrites do, the Lord said. And he should have said also the hypocrites in the churches and in the streets, to be praised by men. I certainly tell you, they already have the reward. Do not be like them. The source of every blessing is the Lord himself, and he uses you for blessing others, because he provided you with the means. Therefore, taking glory in the Lord should be our goal, in the Lord, and not to allow people to gaze upon us, but to gaze upon the primary source of every blessing, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, our powerful God. I love how Apostle James warns the church, and he tells them, do not make this mistake. My beloved brethren, don't make this mistake. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from above, from the Father of light. Therefore, we shouldn't guide people to gaze upon the pastors, on the church. We must only guide them to gaze upon the Lord as the greatest good, as the source of a blessing, as the one who provides according to his riches and glory for each and every one of us. We could also wonder, and which is the role of a church in this means? Apostle Paul clarifies it. So which is the role of a church? Oh, very simple, my brethren. As a depository of the blessing of the Lord and his care, the church will turn into a powerful means to carry blessings to others among spiritual and material need. The church is not the source of the blessing, but the means through which the Lord carries blessings and eternal life to those who don't know him, and also carry provision and care to those who have persevered in faith. Therefore, Apostle Paul sees the church of the Philippians as a means of blessing. They participated along with him, from those blessings of providing for others once and again. This demonstrates the inseparable love of those who serve the Lord, of those who love the Lord, of those who are tied up to the Lord our God in Jesus Christ. That's why he says, I take glory in receiving these blessings from you guys through the hands of Epaphroditus. In verse 10 he says that he took great joy in the Lord that you have finally revived your care for me, of which I was also needed, but you guys were lacking the opportunity. But far from complaining, from criticizing, Apostle Paul was recognizing the acknowledging the security that they were praying for him, that they were seeking for the opportunity to serve him. And I love the translation in the current language of this passage. Observe how it says, I greatly rejoice that you, as my brethren in Christ, have come back to thinking of me. He took joy in this situation, that you guys have come back to thinking of me. I was sure that you hadn't forgotten about me, but that you hadn't had the opportunity to serve me, of course. What a great blessing it was for Apostle Paul. He says, I was convinced that the church had not forgotten about me, but you were seeking for the opportunity to do so instead. And it is a joy to know that the church has not forgotten about us, but they are seeking for that chance. The church is compounded by faithful men and women, and they were a stimulus for Apostle Paul. And he remembers them tenderly, and he lets them know that in verse 15. You guys also know that at the beginning of the preaching of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no other church participated with me in regards to giving and receiving but you alone. But you also sent me to the Thessalonians once and again for my needs. And these brethren were very present in the heart of Apostle Paul. Why? But because they served him continually. So he was also continuously praying for them. The church of the Philippians was a means of blessing for Apostle Paul. They were a means of blessing for him. That's why when he thanks them, he says, how good it is that in the Lord you have been able to do this or that on my behalf. He not only acknowledges that the primary source of blessing is the Lord himself, but also that the church of the Philippians was a means for these blessings to reach him. So those who were members of his church were instruments in the hands of God for provision and blessing in the work of Apostle Paul, which means that every man and woman in our church is also a means, an instrument in the hands of God to go and help those who need. And we must be careful when we want to see the church as an institution. There are many brethren that when they talk about the church, they speak about the building. And they say, they ask, why doesn't the church do this or that? And you know what is the source of this question? That they do not feel themselves to be a part of his church. If I ask, why doesn't the church do this or that, it means I'm gazing upon myself not as a member, but as an outsider. So, that would mean then that the church is only compounded by deacons and pastors. We continuously hear this question. Why doesn't the church do this, the pastors and the deacons? How about yourself, my brother, my brethren? Every man and woman who compounds the membership of a church, they are part of the body of Christ. Therefore, every man and woman from this church is who constitutes this church. Therefore, when we speak about the local church, we are speaking about the amount of members that we have here in this church. We are not referring to the deacons or to one or other brother. The means of dependency is important here. When we feel to be part of a church, then I will speak of the church as my church. I will not speak of it as an outsider. Many people, when they refer to the church, they only refer to pastors and deacons. So, and you never see Apostle Paul, and it is quite interesting, you never see Apostle Paul saying that thanks to the pastor of the church of the Philippians, whatever his name is. No, he never says that. What is it he says? He says, the church of the Philippians. When we go and help of a needy, it is not this pastor or the other pastor who goes and carries the help to other people. No, it is not myself or this deacon or any other deacon. No. Even if we are the ones as the instrument in person, the help and the blessing, they are receiving it from the church. They are the church that was blessed in order to be a blessing for others. There are many brothers and sisters involved in these ministries, and there are many people who never come up in the pictures. But there are men and women who get involved in giving and providing and preparing. And each and every brother and sister is a means of a blessing for the work of love of the Lord Jesus for others. Therefore, it is the church that serves as a means, but God Himself is the source of this blessing. And that is the attitude that Apostle Paul wants the churches to cultivate. To see God as the source of a blessing and themselves as a means. And he repeats this same teaching of how they have to help the needy and how they have to gaze upon this blessing from above. We will see now the instruction provided by Apostle Paul. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 20, verse 34. Verse 34 states that for what was needed for me and those who were with me, these hands have been helpful. In everything I have taught you, that you have to work that way in order to help the needy. And remember the works of the Lord Jesus, who said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then, let us consider some characteristics, some features of this church of the Church of Philippians. In verses 14 through 16, he mentions some of the things that they took care of. They were willing in serving. They sought for the opportunity. They were not a passive kind of a church, waiting to be called. Like, hey brother, do you want to do this or that? They were willing, and they were proactive. They were seeking for the opportunity themselves. They were not waiting to be called. They were characterized by a flaming kind of a love. They were seeking for chances, for opportunities to serve others. They were aware that Apostle Paul had needs, and for them this was enough for them to move themselves and to walk. Apostle Paul also states that these people were quite aware of the work of evangelization. He said in verse 15 that they continuously sent things. In verse 15, he said that you also know that at the beginning of my preaching of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no other church participated along with me in regards to giving and receiving, but you alone. They were involved in the work of the gospel, because which is the greatest need a human being has in their soul? But the forgiveness of their sins? They were convinced, and they had it clear that the greater good they had to provide for others was to participate in this missionary work. When I departed from Macedonia, you were the only ones who participated along with me. This church was also persistent to help. Verse 16 states that they sent for his needs once and again, but they continually wanted to know that Paul had his needs covered. He states that, and remarks it in verse 16, because you sent provisions even to Thessalonians when I was there. This church was persistent in helping, and this is a gift that Apostle Paul wants the church to cultivate. So may the Lord give us to be praised as this church, because we are persistent in helping and preaching. Because the church was seeking for the chance to serve him. May the Lord grant us a heart as the one that this church had, the Church of Philippians. Apostle Paul also speaks through the epistle of Galatians, verse 6. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. As we reach the opportunities, let's do good to everyone. But firstly, to the household of faith. He states that we must seek for doing good to everyone, and do not grow wither from doing good to everyone. But firstly, to the household of faith, because this demonstrates the love of God toward us. And this, they will know that you are my disciples, knowing that you love each other for continuous care, prayer, and love. That is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ being shown and that that is the kind of a love that we have to duplicate. We must not grow wither from doing good, because we will harvest if we do not faint first. As we have the chances, the opportunities, let's do good to everyone, but firstly to the household of faith. Also, in the admonition that Paul gave to the Church of Corinthians, he also provided a teaching, an example of a church that I particularly like. It is on the second letter, in verse 11, chapter 11, verse... Let us go there, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 7. He was admonishing them, but how did he do it? By using an example that, for me, was quite calling, actually. Let's go to verse 7. He asked them, "Did I sin, humiliating myself, so that you were praised? Since I preached the gospel of God, like, vainly, I have taken from other churches, receiving a salary to serve you guys." So he humiliated himself. He did not receive any money from them. But instead, I took a salary from other churches to serve you. Verse 9, "And when I was among you, and I had any need, I was not a burden to anyone. But anything that I was lacking was supplied by the brothers who came from Macedonia. And I will prevent myself from being a burden to you." So he is admonishing them, telling them that the time I was here among you, I humiliated myself, and not in vain, because I preached the gospel to you, and I did not request from anything, you know, anything from you, but instead, I took gifts and money from other churches to serve you guys instead. But I was not a burden to any of you. And then the interesting thing comes along. Everything else that I needed was provided by the brethren from Macedonia who came along. And then we can wonder, what did they do? So they emptied themselves so that Apostle Paul was a means of a blessing to the Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 8 instead. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. I will go through it very slowly, and I want everyone to have their Bible in front of them. May the Lord awaken your hearts, and having meditated in this text throughout the day. In the same way, my brethren, we make known to you by the grace of God that things have been given to the Church of Macedonia, and the means of the blessing is the church, but the primary source is God Himself. In the same way, my brethren, we make known to you by the grace of God that it has been given to the churches of Macedonia that through the great trials and their affliction abounded greatly in the joy and the riches through for their generosity. They were profoundly poor, but they abounded greatly in generosity. And I give you testimony that they gladly gave according to their strength and even farther beyond their strength, requesting yearly from us to give them the privilege of participating in the service for the Holy Ones. Please let us grant us the privilege of participating in the service for the Holy Ones, they said. And not as we expected, Paul said, but they gave themselves firstly to the Lord and then to us by the will of God, in a way that we exhorted Titus, so that as he started before, he can also finish this work of grace among you. What a great blessing, what a great testimony Apostle Paul gave from this church. And what are we complaining about, my brethren? This church was a poor church. But my brethren, it was a means of the love, an evidence of the love of this church for Paul and for the Holy Ones. This church was poor, but their poverty and the abundance of their joy and profound poverty abounded greatly in the riches of our generosity. The fact that they gave themselves and worried about the Holy Ones, this was not a burden for them. It was not painful for them. But they saw this as a privilege instead. Despite their difficulties, despite their circumstances that they were going through, for the Macedonians, it was more a privilege. It was more than a privilege to serve the Holy Ones. Despite that, their joy and profound poverty abounded with the riches of our generosity. They gave according to their strength and farther beyond. But thirdly, this church also begged Apostle Paul to grant them the privilege of participating. So Apostle Paul didn't have to ask them like, who can do this, who wants to do that? And that is quite admonishing to us today. How is it possible that when we can worry and give to others, someone has to be behind us, pushing us? Many people don't get to give anything unless the pastor is pushing them to do so. But the Church of Philippians and the churches of Macedonia didn't have those issues. Instead, they were asking Apostle Paul, who do we have to help? Where do we have to go? And he instead had to curb their enthusiasm. Please be quiet. Because they were proactive. They were asking him, who do we have to help? Where do we have to go? But they said, I don't only have this, I am also willing to pack it. I'm willing to help out and to go farther beyond the extra mile. They were begging Apostle Paul, please let me do it. Please let us help. They would do this because they were aware that it was their duty and it was a privilege before the Lord to be able to help. But fourthly, this church saw this as a service, given and given themselves to the holy ones, was something that Apostle Paul did not expect from them, but they did it gladly. So they gave from their strength, but not only as we expected, they gave even farther beyond their strength. Even Apostle Paul was surprised. They gave themselves, firstly to the Lord, but please observe, firstly to the Lord himself, and then to us, by the will of God. The same pattern. The source of a blessing is God, and the church is the means to carry these blessings to others. This church is word given from the joy of their hearts. They beg for the privilege of giving. They see it as a privilege. They don't only give according to their strength, but they give themselves also. Firstly to God, and then to us by the will of God. But, oh my brethren, how many things we have to learn from the churches of Philippians and the Macedonians. They are certainly an example for us. What do they teach us? What do they teach us, both the Philippians and the Macedonians? They teach us that we have to empty ourselves. We have to give from ourselves. I know that in this difficult times, there are many people who are comfortable in their homes. But please don't step up because we tell you to do it, but because God tells you to do so instead. We are urging you, we are praying for God to work in your heart and transform your heart so that you go for those who need. So don't think that we are begging you to come and do something. We will continue to provide for others with or without you, but it is a great privilege. May the Lord help you to put your hand on the instruments. As a fruit of the strength you say you have, we have to get out from the comfort of our homes. Perhaps you don't have a chance or the power to provide 10 pounds of rice for other people, but we need men, for instance, to pack the help that some others have provided. We need people to help us to continue being a means of blessing for others. But secondly, these churches are teaching us that we have to start valuing our brethren. Then we get rid of these comforts when we value our brethren. What are you doing for them? What is the evidence? What are the fruits of your love for your brethren? Are you praying for them so that the Lord provides them according to the riches of His grace? Just a little phone call. So, hello my brother, how are you doing today? So that encourages them to continue the work. We are also calling some other brothers. And you have to observe the joy that some other people feel when we say that we are calling you from the local church, and you can notice the joy in their voices. It is not a responsibility only of the pastors, of the deacons. Just a simple phone call, a WhatsApp message. Just ask them, how are you doing today? that is a fruit of love. When praying for our brethren, worrying for them. But thirdly, these churches teach us also that we have to seek for the opportunity to serve, to go, to give, to share. We must seek for the opportunity, not wait for someone to call us. So, we could say, well, I have a liter of oil for someone who needs it. If you know about someone who needs it, you can go yourself. Just call them. Go. Share. Because it is more blessed to give others than to receive. That is a blessing. From the provision of the Lord for you, the fact that you don't need to receive, but the Lord has provided you instead through His grace, and you can also joyfully provide for others. These churches are teaching us that we have to seek for the opportunity to give, to serve. Also, we have to learn not to complain about this, about serving others. They did not complain about serving others. Why? Because they would prefer one another, providing for themselves and for others. When you give yourself to God and then to others, there's no chance, there's no place for complaint. Those who are stingy, those who are selfish, those are the ones who are continuously complaining about situations. But these churches were not into complaints. These churches wanted to serve God. They would prefer each other, and their worry was to serve other brethren. They would also provide joyfully. When you provide for others with joy, there's no place for complaint either. From the abundance of their joy and their profound poverty that abounded, for the riches of their provisions for others, there was no place in their hearts for complaints. And we also know, my brethren, that there are many people who are suspended from their jobs. We know that in our church, many people are not currently working, but there are many others who continue to work. The mercy of the Lord has provided for some other people to continue to receive their payments. The means that the church has to go and help others should not be retained by us. Don't keep the tithes and your offerings. Provide it, give it to the church so that we continue to provide for others. We continue to pray for the Lord to provide everything that we need. And we trust the Lord, He will do it. So, we wouldn't like to tell the people who work here in the church on the 15th or the 30th of the month, we are sorry, but we have nothing to give you your salary, nothing to pay you with. But we also encourage the people who continue to work to participate joyfully, being faithful and providing the tithes and the offerings. Continue to be faithful, because the Lord will also award you for it. Lastly, we want to see the reason of Apostle Paul to praise this church. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, Apostle Paul says, "It is not that I'm seeking for gifts from you, but I also tell you what Apostle Paul says here. We are not seeking for gifts or presents, but I am seeking for a fruit that abounds for your account. As it is said in verse 17, chapter 4, but I have received everything abundantly. Since I've received it from Epaphroditus, he says, it is a delightful fragrance, it is an accepted sacrifice, and it is acceptable to the Lord. That's why Apostle Paul says, it is an acceptable fragrance. So this sacrifice has been received by the Lord, and that's why we use this phrase, that we want our prayers to be an accepted sacrifice and fragrance before the Lord. Apostle Paul clarifies that this praise or acknowledgement of their love was not an expression for them to send even more, but Apostle Paul takes them to see the implications of the blessings that they had through providing for others. There was a blessing for them through giving for others gladly, freely. But I seek for a fruit that abounds on your account. That is the Christian act of giving. The act of giving from the Philippians can be credited to their account, as Apostle Paul said. Not hoping for anything from men, but from God. This act of giving from the Philippians is an investment that will work for, as an interest, spiritually speaking. He said, I don't need anything else. I am full with every provision that you sent through Epaphroditus. Spiritual blessings are evident because they sprout from a heart that has received the love of Christ, and these works are manifested since they are an evidence of the work of mercy that has been worked by God Himself. The purest religion is to visit the orphans and the widows in their homes and to carry ourselves out or to protect ourselves from the blemish of the world. So which are the rewards of providing with freedom? In verses 19 and 20 states that there is a reward from the Lord. And there are many other verses in the New Testament that speak about it. How does Paul finish this acknowledgement of the Church of Philippians? Let's go to verses 19 and 20. Let's go there, please. In chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, My God will then supply everything that you lack according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Apostle Paul tells them, this work of love, this work of mercy, this work of selflessness, this promptness in giving, this freedom to give, this insistence in providing for others, this worry about others, this wish to be present, is to give this giving yourselves beyond the possibilities. Be glad that our Lord will provide everything that you may lack according to His riches in glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And there are many other texts we could share, but because of the time, we will only get to see some of them. Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be prospered. Luke 6:38. You will also receive a sprouting source of blessing. With the same measurements that you work, you will also be measured. The Lord is powerful for providing for you in every grace, so that abundantly having everything you need, you can also abound for others. There are many other texts we can continue to provide today. But above everything, I don't want to finish without repeating this verse to you. But when you give to others, let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing, so that your Father can see you and reward you. He sees what you do secretly, and He will reward you in public. May the Lord grant us through these difficult times to see these examples and imitate them and emulate them. So we want to be acknowledged as a church who imitated the churches of Macedonia and the Philippians. And if we imitate them, you can be sure that as the blessing of the Lord has not lacked up to this moment, it will not do in the future either. Let our love be evident for our brethren. So let's copy the examples of these churches from Macedonia and the Philippians. May the Lord grant us to be humiliated by these examples. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing these teachings to our consciousness. We thank you for bringing our hearts to see the examples, which are faithful and loving, of faithfulness to you, of the churches of the Philippians and Macedonia. Let us grant us to grow in putting our burdens in your hands and insisting and seeking for the opportunity to be able to serve you in love and faithfulness. May the world and may our brethren know that we love them because we are with them. Because everything you put in our hands, we will also give to them as a means and not as the source itself. Because you are our blessing, Lord. Because you are and you will be our greater good. Put the heart of these churches in ourselves. We seek for it. We beg for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.